We own this country.
We own it. And it's not you owning it and not politicians owning it. Politicians are employees of ours. And they're just going to come around and beg for votes every few years, and it's the same old deal. But I just think that it's important that you realize that whether you're Democrat or whether you're a Republican or whether you're Libertarian or whatever, when somebody does not do the job, we've got to let them go.
When your entire culture is under attack, you need the country's number one voice in defense of our American way of life. You need an ally in the fight against tyranny and corruption. You need your weekly dose of Lisa Payne Nager. Missouri Grassroots Radio Network proudly adds our own beauty to America the Beautiful, your own culture vigilante, Ms. Lisa Payne Nager.
Good Wednesday evening to you. This is Lisa Payne Nager. You're listening to Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Thanks for being with us tonight. Lots of stuff has gone on since the last time we met here last week. My microwave is still clean. I'm the second week into my empty nesting thing and doing pretty good with it. My house is pretty clean and it stayed that way, and kind of enjoying the quiet, actually. My kids are coming home this weekend, though, so I'm looking forward to that. But I had a lot of time over the last week to do some extra things, politically motivated. Went out to Ann Wagner's office on Monday with a bunch of other patriots and activists and grassroots folks, Tea Party folks, met there Monday afternoon around noontime. We talked about this a little bit last week. Ann Wagner has been kind of absent without leave at some public events, and we kind of talked about a little bit how many of the congressmen and women across the country and in our area here in Missouri are, not all of them, but many of them are not really going out and shaking hands and looking people in the eye and talking about what's going on in Washington. They're maybe having a town hall events or, you know, something like that, but, you know, where the environment is much more controlled and they can get in and out of situations a little bit easier, but they're not really doing a lot of face-to-face stuff. And last week, Ann Wagner skipped a Republican women's 2 weeks ago, skipped a Republican women's luncheon out here, and the ladies out in St. Charles County were a little bit upset that she kind of canceled on them at the last minute. So not being able to ask her questions face-to-face about how she plans to deal with the Obamacare issue and will she or will she not defund it, a group of patriots decided to go to her. So on Monday afternoon, about noon, we all kind of headed over to her office in Baldwin and were equipped to ask her the question, you know, Ann, you know, how do you feel about the Obamacare thing? Are you going to defund it? And we were met with some interesting responses. Ann, of course, was not at her office. I'm sure she's very busy and she was probably out doing something somewhere. You know, they wouldn't tell us exactly where she was. And don't you find that kind of interesting? I mean, we went to Ann Wagner's office. She's an elected congresswoman. They wouldn't tell us where she was or what she was doing or when she would be available or when was she going to be back in the office next time, or, you know, we got a lot of a runaround when we were there. But anyway, we were there and we were there to provide her with some information. Most of the people there had a copy of the Meadows letter to give her, and most were signed, had comments on there. That she has a stack of letters now to read from constituents in her area. But basically, the whole gist of the situation was the fact that we could not get a straight answer out of her people at the office in Baldwin about would she or would she not defund Obamacare. Got a lot of dancing. She refused to sign the Meadows letter. I think she had been approached before. And the Meadows letter is a letter from one of the other representatives in the country, you know, not in leadership, of course, you know, standing up against Obamacare, trying to get support amongst the constituents there in Washington, D.C. to push back against the going-along-to-get-along attitude with defunding Obamacare. And she refused to sign it on the grounds that she is in House leadership. And there wasn't even there was a controversial debate amongst the staff and some of the people there on whether or not Ann Wagner was among leadership. Her office staff insists Ann Wagner is elected leadership in the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. But there seems to be some debate between that and is she actually elected leadership or was she appointed by her constituents to be a freshman representative at the table? I don't think she actually holds a place at the table among leadership in Washington, D.C., but I think she's on the fast track to leadership and obviously she does not want to rock the boat. So obviously she would not sign the letter claiming that she is part of leadership, however that works. She does not have an official title. The whole afternoon was just very interesting. Somebody called the police, obviously, not anybody from Ann Wagner's office, but it was very interesting to note that there's some dissent among the people in the building. They don't want to see any pushback against Ann Wagner. They don't want any protesting or anything going on in the area. No controversy. Everything needs to be smooth. Everything, go along to get along. Let's not make any waves. The whole afternoon was just very, very interesting. Anyway, so if by now she does not know that she needs to start showing up at public events and start making her presence known and her position known on Obamacare, I think she knows now after last Monday. Anyway, if you happen to be in Ann Wagner's district, drop her a line and let her know how you feel about her stance on Obamacare. We need to make sure that the elected in Washington, D.C., understand that this is the best time to do something about Obamacare. People don't want it. It's growing increasingly more unpopular as time goes by and as it gets closer to implementation. People are afraid of it. It's going to be it's a train wreck, folks. Wait until you see. If you have not been reading up on it, and most of my listening audience probably has been reading up on it, but I'm telling you, the low information folks out there, they are going to be hit in the face when this Obamacare thing kicks in. And if any of these elected think that they're not going to meet with some resistance next primary time, it's like I said last week, I know lifelong senior citizen, lifelong Republicans who have been Republicans, they were Republicans in the womb, who are talking going third party. I mean, people are so angry, and I think the Republican Party does not understand how seriously angry people are and how they are losing their constituency. I heard something earlier this week about how the Republican Party is losing its constituency because the older generation is dying off at such a rapid rate. Not only are people leaving the party because they're disgruntled, the people are leaving the party because there's attrition and turnover. They're going to have a really, really hard time. And if people don't start going back to the right, getting conservative values back into government, there's going to be a firestorm at the next election. So anyway, Ann Wagner, you're part of that. People are talking about primarying you out next time, people that supported you in the last election. So you need to make your position known very loudly and very clearly to the people that put you in office that you will not fund Obamacare. Right now, that's not so clear. Anyway, speaking of having the police called on us, very nice gentleman came out to Ann Wagner's office. I'm not sure. I think it was a St. Louis County police officer. I don't think he was a state patrolman. Very nice. Observed the situation and saw that there was really no cause for alarm and, just asked us to remain peaceful, and he left. He was very, very, very gentle and very peaceful and very reasonable. Which is something that we haven't observed out here in St. Charles County. Tonight, we're going to be able to talk to the folks that were arrested. The two gentlemen that were arrested on the overpass are going to be with us tonight, Dwayne Weed and Mark Messmer. They're going to come on tonight and give us an outline of what happened to them and what their plans are for the future. So just to let you know that not all police officers are like the state patrolman that arrested these two gentlemen a couple of weeks ago. So we don't want to get that stigma out there. We don't hate police officers, but it just something I kind of wanted to throw out there. Also, something that happened last week was I ran across a screenshot of State Senator Jamila Nasheed's Twitter feed, and I can't read it to you because it's full of profanity, but it seems that the senator has some problems with conservatives, and she doesn't mind broadcasting it on her Twitter feed. So I wrote an article at examiner.com and another article published today at politichicks.tv, And it seems that the state senator has a real problem, again, like I said, with conservatives. And she was blasting conservatives on her Twitter feed, and she was using expletives to do it. I don't know about you folks, and I'm probably older than, you know, half of my listening audience, but it wasn't that long ago when folks expected of their elected that they would at least show some semblance of devotion and respect for their position, to where that they would not be putting expletives out there and swearing publicly at people who oppose them. No decorum whatsoever. Ms. Nasheed tweeted, "Sigh, I'm so damn tired of the right-wing idiots." And then she threw another more serious and just another more a little bit more elevated tweet at a specific conservative who follows her on Twitter. Folks, nobody seems to have a problem with this. It's just a normal thing that a state senator, someone who used to be considered, you know, that if you held that position in our culture, we used to herald that position with some respect, and now these state senators are blasting constituents in a very low manner. And nobody seems to think that that's a problem. You know, I mean, I just, where has the culture descended to? We've kind of just fallen off the face of the earth with decorum. And I looked it up, and you can read it in the myexaminer.com article. There seems to be no guideline for behavior of the elected when they're outside of the Jefferson City area. Obviously, they can behave any way they wish. Used to be, they used to be able to impeach judges like for public drunkenness or anything, like, you know, just, you know, there was a certain standard that you were expected to maintain a public appearance. I don't remember the guy's name. They arrested a state representative on the other side of the state last week for possession of marijuana. So, you know, folks, if this is our Missouri legislature, and you can't obviously characterize the entire Missouri legislature by these two characters, but I'm telling you, folks, and I think they're both Democrats. I think not only do we have all of these problems where we have people not upholding the constitutions and they're not representing the people well. We have people in office who are just not really fit to be in office. They don't know how to behave in public. It's just amazing to me. I don't understand it. I'm kind of losing touch with what I thought was reality here. Evidently, it's not reality anymore, or it's a different reality. And I don't know exactly at what point the switch flipped, but it's absolutely out of control. Anyway, we'll move on. Tonight, we've got a lot of stuff going on tonight. Like I said, we're going to have Duane Weed and Mark Messmer on with us, and they're going to talk about the incident on the St. Charles overpass and what happened to them and how they spent a night in jail for no particular reason. I don't believe the gentlemen were charged with anything, but we all showed up at the overpass last Saturday. A great crowd was on the overpass last week. A lot of patriots were there to kind of show their support of these two gentlemen and to stick up for their the freedoms that they have to assemble in a public place and their freedom of speech. And we're going to talk to them about all those issues. Tonight, I also want to talk about Lauren Spivak is going to be here tomorrow and Thursday. And I want to remind you all, still space available at the Family Vision Library if you want to attend this great two-night seminar. I know Rick Perry is going to be in town tomorrow night. He's going to be here at 5 o'clock. You can leave that event and shoot up Highway 94 and get to the Family Vision Library in no time at all. Come and join us after you visit Rick Perry. And he's going to be in Chesterfield for a little while. Great commercials that are circulating on the radio about Rick Perry coming. Come on down to Texas, folks. Come on, Missourians. We've got a better deal for you down in Texas. And the Missourians are, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and all of the liberal media here are just going crazy. And Jay Nixon actually has put out a an anti-commercial, an anti-Perry commercial in retaliation for Rick Perry coming and, you know, putting out his message, trying to lure the businesses down to his state, because evidently the economy is better and the atmosphere is better there, down there for businesses. Interestingly enough, Texas happens to also be a right-to-work state. I think somebody needs to tell Jay Nixon that. Somebody probably also needs to tell Tim Jones that as well. I'm sure Tim Jones will be at this event tomorrow with Rick Perry. Maybe we should just kind of whisper in his ear, you know, hey, you know, right to work. Along with Dwayne and Mark, we are going to talk to Bob Parker. He's got some stuff to say about the Department of Revenue issue. Last week, I don't know if you were listening to or watching on Missouri Torch, the live stream of the last round of committee hearings. You know, folks, it's not looking good. I told you this several weeks ago. They're going to let those people walk. Nothing's going to happen, and Jay Nixon is going to finish out his term as governor, and nobody's going to have a problem with it. Bob Parker has a few things to say about that. And also, Dwayne Wester from the Missouri Torch is going to be on with us. He's going to talk a little bit about those hearings and some other things about the Nixon administration that have been going on, keeping him out of the loop of some issues. And we're going to have Suzanne on from, the Patriot Coalition. Last week we talked to Emmanuel Goldstein, also a member of the Patriot Coalition. We're going to get all the facts and figures about what the Patriot Coalition does and how you can get active and involved in that situation. And that eventually will wrap it up for us. We got a lot of stuff between now and the end of the show, so we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back right after this.
On September 15, 1787, the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia took up debate on whether or not to allow amendments to the new Constitution, and, if so, what method of amending should be adopted. Initially, it was proposed that only the legislature could make an amendment. Quoting from James Madison's notes of that very day, Colonel Mason thought the plan of amending the Constitution exceptionable and dangerous, as the proposing of amendments is in both the nodes to depend in the first immediately, in the second ultimately, on Congress. No amendments of the proper kind would ever be obtained by the people if the government should become oppressive, as he verily believed would be the case. Unquote. There followed a strenuous debate and many propositions, motions, votes, and refinements that arrived at the article as it exists today, giving states and the people the power to meet to amend the Constitution with no regard for the legislature or executive. The time that Mason foresaw, the time of oppressive national government, has arrived. Join us on Monday night in the Hour of Truth as we explore this method of peaceful revolution. We'll discuss how, when, and why. And we will be glad to hear your opinions on exactly what we need to do to fix the issues we face today, using Article 5 of the Constitution. Can we? Will we take our government by the horns, wrestle it to the ground, and return our republic to a government that serves the states and the people? Let's talk about it. Mondays, 7 p.m., the Hour of Truth. Call and participate on the studio line 347-677-1835.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order, because the global order is changing again. And the institutions and the rules that worked so well in the post-World War II era for decades, they need to be strengthened.
I've got a feeling that the tide is turning.
Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
This is Lisa Payne Nager. We are back. You're listening to Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio, and you heard Dave Court there earlier in the commercial break. He runs a Fair Tax show every week, and he also runs the Hour of Truth every week here on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I am going to have to take Dave Court by the horns and wrestle him to the ground if he doesn't stop promoting Article 5 convention, but otherwise, we know him, Dave. We love him, Dave. Can't live without him. Join him for the Fair Tax show and join him for the Hour of Truth. Tonight, we are here with Dwayne Weed and Mark Messmer, two gentlemen who recently spent a night in the St. Louis County Jail for reasons that we do not yet understand, but they're here to tell us all about that situation. Thanks for being with us tonight, guys.
Thank you, Lisa, and thanks for coming out on Saturday, too.
Oh, happy to be there. A huge crowd. You guys, I know that you guys meet there regularly. How's the crowd out there usually on Saturdays?
Well, it was... usually we do not have as many as we had this past Saturday. The day that we got arrested, I think there were like 12 protesters out there. And this past Saturday, because a lot of people like you came out to support us, and we had close to 100 people on that one.
Yeah, you really did. And not only the people in the overpass, I mean, that place was blasting. Car horns were blasting the entire time I was there. You were getting great support from the drivers by.
Right.
Okay, we certainly were, Lisa.
Yeah, you guys did a great job of pulling that together. Okay, so Dwayne and Mark, let's kind of back up. Let's just kind of give. I know that you probably told this story 100 times since its occurrence, but let's kind of give a little history about what happened. A couple of weeks ago, the St. Louis County Fair. Or not St. Louis County Fair, but the Festival of Little Hills, which is held in St. Charles County every August, as it was last 2 weeks ago. Big crowds, lots of traffic. You guys were on the overpass protesting that weekend. What happened?
Well, Lisa, I'll begin because I was the first one on the scene. Our protest began at 10 o'clock, and I was the first one there, and I'll note that when I arrived, there was an accident there underneath our overpass. The traffic was already backing up off of the 5th Street exit for people trying to go into the festival there, and it was backing up all the way on to Interstate 70, and that's where a few accidents occurred, just fender benders. Nobody was hurt, fortunately, but there were just some rear-end collisions there, but I did note that there was one before we even started our protest, so I don't think that they can blame mm-hmm. all of the accidents on us like they tried to do.
Yeah, I mean, and you guys meet there regularly anyway. You guys usually have some people on the overpass every Saturday morning. Is that not correct?
Right.
No, Lisa, it's not every Saturday. It's certain Saturdays throughout the month. They have increased them with all the tyranny that's going on with the Syria talk, et cetera. They're just
sure.
wanting to get Obama impeached, and that's the whole reason for that particular movement. So they've been doing them like every 2 weeks.
There's a video floating around out there, and I watched the video, and, you know, from what I saw, you know, and you can go into this in more detail, but I didn't see a whole lot of reason for anybody to be arrested from what I saw in the video. And Dwayne, you were the one, I think, that was approached first by the police officer.
Well,
no.
I wasn't really approached first. Now, I'm the one who took the video, so as soon as we saw the police drive up there, we knew something was going on, so I started my camera. I wanted to catch what occurred on camera because they came up there in full force. At one time, I counted a total of 8 cars, including the St. Charles police cars and also the Missouri Highway Patrol. But the highway patrolman came up, and he said, "Who's in charge?" And we didn't really have anybody in charge. And somebody said, "Well, you know, we're all just responsible for ourselves."
Right.
And then he started telling us we were going to have to leave. And then I guess Mark and I volunteered, not because we took one step forward, but because everybody else took one step backward type of thing. But, you know, we just we're not going to let our rights be trampled so easily. This is a nationwide program, and I've watched videos of other people who have been harassed by the police and run off the overpass before and had their signs. In one case, I even saw the police take a sign away from a protester. But we were just ready to take a stand. So Mark and I stepped forward, and we engaged the officer, and told him that, you know, there was an accident there before we even arrived. We're not responsible for the accidents. And I said, you got all these cars up here on the overpass. If you just put one of these cars down there on the highway where it's backing up, you know, and just warn the traffic and slow them down, you know, that would prevent your accidents. And he said he wasn't going to do that. And I said, okay, well, all the accidents have been on this side over here on the eastbound side because that's where the traffic is backing up. I said, what if we just, as a compromise, we'll just all move over here on the westbound side where there have been no problems at all. And I just thought that was a reasonable compromise, and it would have allowed us to you know, express our right, because we did have a First Amendment right to be on that sidewalk, you know, with our protest. But like I said, I think they came up there with the intention of clearing us off of that overpass. So they were not, they didn't come up there to compromise.
Oh, it's very clear. Okay, so let me back up for just 1 second. Okay, I know that you guys are politically active in the St. Charles County area. You're a member of several groups, and you do a lot of work within the community. But tell me about this organization, because I did look on Facebook. There's a Facebook page, and it's Impeach Obama Overpasses. Is that it?
No, it's Overpasses for Obama's Impeachment, Lisa.
Okay, just a little bit dyslexic there. Okay, so how did you guys get involved in this? How did you guys get involved in this action? And tell me about that a little bit.
Go ahead, Mark.
I myself saw the group on Facebook just the week prior to the event. They had another protest on the same very bridge, as you had stated earlier, 2 weeks before. I think at that one they had maybe 4 protesters or 8. And then the second one that Dwayne and I attended where the arrest happened, there was maybe 12. And then you know the story of the third one with the 100 people also showing support and solidarity for us, which we do appreciate. But that was my first event with this organization because I believe in the cause. I think there's a lot of tyrannical things that are happening in our government, and I think Obama's at the helm, if not the puppet.
Absolutely. Okay, so, Mark, you were the first one, I think, that the officers put hands on. Is that right?
Yeah. And I if you go back and watch the video, they told Dwayne to come with them. That was Jenkins, Officer or Trooper Jenkins. He said, all right, you come with me because you're refusing to leave. And all I simply said was, why are you arresting him? You know, can you tell us the reason? And then when I let the word tyranny snip out, when he put me in a chokehold. So apparently that's a key word for all you out there. Make sure you don't say the word tyranny because you'll be put in a chokehold.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I'll have to put the video up at Missouri Grassroots. But I'm telling you, folks, that, I mean, you were standing there peaceful, not in a threatening way whatsoever. And, I mean, this guy just came and he put his arm around your neck and wrestled you to the ground. It was amazing.
Yeah, and I don't think that's their protocol, Lisa. And there's certainly things could have gone wrong. If he would have flipped and drugged me anyway, he could have hurt my vertebrae and paralyzed me for life. So his actions are not only dangerous, they're just foolish.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, it was I don't want to get over dramatic here, but I mean it was almost police brutality. You were in no way making any threats, or you were asking them to clarify what laws were broken, and you were trying to clarify what your rights were as citizens there in a public place. And I mean, I saw absolutely nothing wrong with what you were doing. Did they ever clarify?
No, they were blaming the fender benders on us the whole day and just wanted us to clear out. And we actually have them on video saying, you guys are causing a traffic hazard for our public safety. We're going to ask you to vacate the bridge, but you can go anywhere else or come back next Saturday on the same bridge. And my question is, if we're a traffic hazard, then why is it okay to go anywhere else or come back next weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of to shuffle you off and to get you out of sight. I mean, obviously, you were getting a lot of attention. It was a busy traffic weekend. The fair was in town, and I guess they didn't want that kind of attention there in St. Charles County. So, okay, so let's move it along. So after you guys, I mean, obviously, they put you in handcuffs, sat you down on the bridge for a while until they figured out what the heck they were going to do with you, and hauled you off to jail.
Right.
Well, there's a good point of that. Dwayne needs to tell you that part because he was the one that was most affected by it. But they sat us down behind a patrol car.
Right. They called a transport vehicle or a paddy wagon is what I call it for some reason. I don't know why, because they only arrested two of us, and they told they told the other protesters, they said, you can either go with them or vacate the overpass. And so everybody else left. So they only had two of us, and I don't know why they had to call a transport vehicle. They could have just carried us in the back of a police car. But they set us down. There was quite a wait until the transport vehicle got there, and so they set us down behind a St. Charles police car with the engine running, and there were two troopers watching us, and we were right behind the exhaust and breathing the exhaust, and I started complaining and asked them to move us. I mean, one of the troopers accused me of being combatant, and I said, well, how am I combatant? I'm just asking to be moved because I'm being poisoned here. And the other officer said, he said, we're all breathing the same thing. And I said, no, we're not. I said, you're standing up, and you've got air circulation. We're down here on the ground.
Right.
And so they refused to move us, and several minutes later, I was getting sick on my stomach. It felt like I was going to throw up, and I told them that. And one of the troopers said, well, bend over and throw up in the street so you don't throw up all over yourself.
Oh, gosh. Okay. All right. Okay, I'm just not even going to comment on that. That's just ridiculous. Okay, so you got to jail, and did they ever and you spent 24 hours in jail. I think that's the maximum time they can hold somebody. Is that right?
Right. I think the officer just wanted to punish us for disobeying his order, and I think he just wanted us to spend 24 hours in jail just as punishment because. As far as we've been able to tell, I mean, we haven't been charged with anything. And I talked to a chief of police friend of mine who looked at the situation, and he said there were no laws and there were no ordinances there. And that's, I think, the reason. The whole time we were on the overpass, they never actually ordered us to leave. He kept saying we're requesting and we're asking. And to me, that means that we have an option. And so I told him, I said, okay, you're requesting. Okay, fine, that means we can stay. And then that was when this Officer Jenkins stepped right up and he said, are you leaving? And I said, I don't think so. And that's when he said, come with me.
And you were never charged?
No. And I made some phone calls. We've been making phone calls ever since then. Now, they could still come back with something, I guess. But we haven't been able to determine that we were charged with anything.
Well, how long do they have before they decide that they can actually bring charges against you for doing something?
I'm not really sure. When I called the St. Charles court system, they said that that it could take 2 to 4 weeks for them to receive the charges from the Highway Patrol. And I called Highway Patrol, and they gave me an incident report number, but they wouldn't give me a copy of it. They said they would send it to Jefferson City, and I would have to request it from Jefferson City. So we haven't really been able to find out much about it. But my chief of police friend, who was there at the protest on Saturday, by the way, to support us, he said that he didn't think they were going to charge us with anything because he said that he didn't think there was really anything that they could charge us with.
Yeah, I'd love for you to take that video straight into court and let a judge watch that video.
Right.
Amazing.
Isn't that wonderful, Lisa? In the free United States of America, you can be strangled, tackled to the ground, and put in prison for 24 hours to break you and then not be charged with anything and have no grounds to charge you. Isn't that America? Isn't that great?
Well, it's for now. We'll see how it is in a little while. I don't know how long it's going to last, but okay. So I don't even want to know. Spending 24 hours in a jail can't be pleasant. Nobody's talking to you about anything. I'm sure that it was not a pleasant experience. You haven't been charged. Doesn't sound like there's got to be an ordinance for them to be able to hold you that long without charging you for something. It just doesn't seem right that they can do that to you and not come across with some problem.
Well, see, they're using a loophole. They're using a loophole that says they can hold you for 24 hours while they file for a warrant,
right?
Whether or not they're going to file for it. So they just did what they could possibly by law, whether it be, ethical or not, and held us for the 24-hour warrant hold, not even implying that they were going to file for a warrant.
Right.
Mm. So do you guys have any plans to push back at this situation? Or, are you going to file a suit or... to me, it seems like police brutality, and it seems like your rights were violated 9 ways from Sunday.
We are talking to some lawyers right now, and we haven't decided if we're going to do anything or not. We're just in the consulting phase right now to find out what are our options and what we could possibly do. But we're looking at the possibility.
Okay.
I differ from you there, Doc. I think we definitely need to do something in the civil matters. It's just a matter of finding the right attorney for us.
And you guys
this
have started
can't go unchecked.
No, I agree with you, Mark. I think that you guys need to, because if they can do it to you, they can do it to anybody. And obviously, somebody has a problem with protesters in St. Charles County. You know, so they'll
well,
be back.
It wasn't only St. Charles either. At least, I mean, in California, they arrested some guy, pushed him to the curb, even though he had a permit or authorization to hang his signs. And even in Richmond Heights on Big Bend and 40, there's a video circulating where the cop pulled up and ripped the guy's sign off the fence and stole his signs and took him with him. That one's a little bit less publicized than ours because there was no arrest, but these kinds of infractions are happening all over the nation.
Yeah, a strong arm of the long arm of the law, stepping on your rights all over the place. Okay, so this kind of segues into another issue I wanted to talk to you guys about. You guys are also involved here in St. Charles County. There is an initiative. We had an issue. We've covered it extensively here on Culture Vigilante with the Sheriff's Department here in St. Charles County. There is a group of people who are starting a petition drive to put it back on the ballot in November of next year.
That's correct, Lisa. And the most important thing about that petition drive is the wording will be factual. Unlike in November of 2012, the wording was vague at best and definitely deceptive. It basically said, shall St. Charles County create a county-wide police department? And the people thinking they're supporting their police voted yes on it, even though we went out strong and tried to educate them. They won by a 0.72% margin.
Yeah,
it was very close. I mean, there's a lot of hard work and feet on the ground to prevent that, but it still happened. Someone even filed for a recount, and it was still upheld. So this time around, if we get it on the ballot, it'll be our wording that says, I don't remember exactly, but it'll say something to the point of elected sheriff. Shall we retain the elected sheriff? And it only takes 20,000 signatures, so that's only registered voters in St. Charles County, though.
Right. Okay. And I want to make it very clear that the St. Charles County Sheriff's Department had nothing to do with your arrest 2 weeks ago. Is that right?
That is
correct.
But if we,
that was Missouri Highway Patrol. Right.
Right.
But, Lisa, with the sheriff being the supreme law of the land, if we had a liberty-minded sheriff, as we don't now, that
right.
was elected, we could have called them. If someone in the group had known better, they could have called them and said, hey, these police are behaving badly. Please come out here and support us or, you know, make sure that they don't and trample on our rights. And they could have had we had elected liberty-minded sheriff. But we don't in this case.
Exactly. And so, I mean, and that is this is a great instance to illustrate the point that you need your law enforcement to be constitutionally minded, chosen by the people, so that you do not have law enforcement folks overstepping the boundaries of the law and the Constitution to harass people with whom they disagree. I mean, you guys are poster children for that as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
So we know last November the county council and Steve Ellman put this initiative on the ballot, and we lost the ability to have our – well, we didn't lose the ability to elect our sheriff, but the sheriff's duties in St. Charles County are drastically diminished. So now people can get arrested in St. Charles County for no particular reason or harassed by the police officers in St. Charles County for no particular reason and have absolutely no recourse in which to get protection. So you guys are working
Correct.
Very hard. You guys are working very hard to reverse that issue. So hopefully, what I'm hoping that we will see here in the next several months is people like Mark and Dwayne going door to door or standing outside of stores or in communities collecting signatures from St. Charles County residents to get this initiative put back on the ballot. And tell me, Mark, why is this so hard to get these signatures for this initiative to be put on the ballot?
Lisa, I don't think it will be hard. I think a lot of people across the country are poster children as well. You got different sheriffs and different communities standing up and saying that they're going to protect everyone's gun rights, et cetera. So, you know, these national stories are making news are certainly putting in the minds of the St. Charles County residents to consider whether or not they want to give up their sheriff. And if you cover the story, as you stated before, I'm sure you covered the part where if it stands now as it is, they'll take one department, make it two, and it'll be to the tune of $1 million in taxes that will be required from the taxpayers in order to create these two departments.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that was nothing. We didn't have those facts at the time last November. They had not come up with the dollar amounts that it was going to take to run these two separate police departments. So even if you don't understand the issue about why it's important to have constitutional sheriffs in your communities, you do understand that your taxes are going to go up. And in this in these economic times, that's not good news for anybody.
No, ma'am. I mean, if anyone wanted to support it for that reason alone, they have good right to. Because, again, with that wording being so vague, that was never mentioned. You know, you have restriping of the cars, new uniforms, new chain of command for the new police force. All these things certainly go into it, and I'm sure it'll be more than $1.2 million, but that's the minimum we think the economic effect will be.
Okay, so just out of curiosity, because I'm not exactly sure how this works, if you guys create this petition drive and you're successful in getting an initiative put on the ballot, who gets to write the language?
We do. The people or the group bringing forward this initiative get to word the ballot language on the ballot. So that's what I stated earlier in the program, that if this goes through, we get the 20,000 signatures, and that's that gives and takes error margin. So the 20,000 is a good solid number. If we can get that by the end of November, it'll be put on the ballot in our wording, and then it'll have to be voted again. And there'll be a strong push to get the word out again when it comes around to election time.
Yeah, so we have just a little bit more than a year to educate the folks, get these signatures on the ballot, or get these signatures on petitions so that we can get this initiative on the ballot. Gentlemen, I thank you so much for your sacrifice and your hard work. Please give me some information about where we can follow you with your issue, your arrest issue, and also I want some information on how to follow you with the St. Charles Sheriff's issue.
Okay, we're going to be having additional protests on the overpasses. Neither Mark nor I, either one, are officially a part of this organization. Basically, we saw the announcement on Facebook, or someone shared it with us. This particular protest that we went to is the first one that either Mark or I have been to. But the organization is called overpasses.org, and it is a national movement. And it's, they're organizing, not every single weekend, but they're organizing protests across the country. There's going to be another one coming up, I believe, September the 3rd at this particular overpass in St. Charles. But I just recommend people just check the website and learn about these overpasses. And I'll let Mark tell you about the I actually live in St. Louis County. We lost our sheriff a while back.
Right.
And I'll let Mark tell you about the other.
Okay.
I don't have the address in front of me, Lisa, and I do apologize, but I think it's sheriffpreservationinitiative.com. I can get back with you on a link to your email.
I do have the address, and you're right. It's sheriffpreservationinitiative.com.
Okay, good. We also did set up a legal fund for us on GoFundMe. It's Two Patriots Legal Fund, if anybody would like to donate for our legal expenses. Because that's obviously something we didn't incur on happening. And we might have to fight criminal as well as civil charges. So we also created an account for that.
Okay, Two Patriots Legal Fund?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the best way to find that is, if you want to follow this story, probably the best way place to follow it will be on my YouTube channel, because that's where the videos are, and that's where the follow-up video is for this past Saturday. And on that video, I have, in the credits of that video, I list the web address of the website where people can help us out if they want to. And my YouTube channel is The New Survivalist, three words, The New Survivalist. Survivalist. So if you go to youtube.com/thenewsurvivalist, the video of the arrest will be the first video that you'll see pop up there on my channel.
Okay, excellent. And I have all those links on my examiner.com article. So look for me under Political Buzz, Lisa Payne Nager under Political Buzz, and that examiner.com article will have all of those links as well. Gentlemen, thank you so much. I hope you'll come back and give us an update as things progress and keep us updated on that sheriff's issue. We're going to be touching base with all of you folks that are working on that. We're going to work hard to promote that and get that back moving here in St. Charles County. Thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks for all you do.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Dwayne Lester.
You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
Hello, it's Dave, and I'm here to tell you that on Saturday nights at 7 o'clock we talk about the fair tax on the Fair Tax Show. That Saturday night at 7 o'clock on Missouri Grassroots Radio, we explode the myths, we tell the truth, we get to the bottom of this tax code that ought to be the one to replace the IRS. Get involved in the discussion. Learn everything there is to learn. 347-677-1835, Saturday, 7 o'clock p.m., Missouri Grassroots Radio.
And when you get ready to hire somebody, you need to check against the federal database to make sure the numbers on the cards aren't forged or real. But what really Congress needs to do is to use a biometric technology to create a new tamper-proof identification card for every legal foreign worker. That's what we need. We need a tamper-proof card.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
This is Lisa Payne Nager, and you are listening to Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio. We are very pleased to have with us again, once again, the proprietor of the Missouri Torch, Mr. Dwayne Lester. Dwayne, you are doing a great job of keeping up on everything that you can keep up with, I guess when Governor Nixon lets you know what's going on out of his office.
Yeah, he doesn't... Three times I've contacted his office. First, thanks for having me on the show again, Lisa. I appreciate it.
Oh, we're glad to have you.
Three times I've contacted his office. I've called twice, and I've sent one email to media at gov.mo or whatever it is, just saying, look, I run the Missouri Torch. I'd like to be notified if the governor's going to be up here in Northwest Missouri or if he's going to be in Kansas City or somewhere. You know, within 3 hours, I'd drive to cover it. Just put me on your media notification list, and I appreciate it. Every time, except for the email, they didn't respond to that. But when I call, they say, yeah, we'd be happy to put you on it. They never do. they never put me on it. And, I don't know. If I were him, would you want someone who's going to show up and ask actual questions? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
That's a sad fact. I don't know if you looked at the Torch today, but... There are a couple of people on Twitter who like to get out there, and they like to spout off a lot of liberal nonsense, and then I call them on it, And one of them is Jamila Nasheed, senator from down by
her.
St. Louis.
Yes,
and another one is Stacey Newman. Now, Jamila was on there one day, you know, mouthing off about Trayvon Martin and all that. And so I just simply asked her, how come you have time to march for Trayvon, but you can't even mention Tyrese Short, the 9-year-old boy killed in your district?
Yeah.
And she blocked me. She blocked me on Twitter. Stacey Newman was on there one day talking about how, somebody should be, you know, disbarred or kicked out of Congress or something because they opposed, contraception, you know, in the health care bill. And I said, which is worse, not having me pay for your health care or using government to force me to pay for your contraception? She blocked me.
You've got a great track record, Wayne.
Yeah, I can't win with these folks. I see what they write. I respond with facts and logic and just simple questions, and they put me in their little gulag and don't want to hear from me. It amuses me. But one thing that I think needs to be pointed out, and one thing that I wanted done today and got some good response from, was back on August 11th, Stacey Newman took to Twitter and she actually said that the racist, I'll read her tweet to you right here because it's on the Missouri Torch. She tweeted out, the racist announcer at last night's Mo State Fair, yes. Dr. Mark Ficken, superintendent of Boonville School District. Now, today it came out there was an investigation done, and he was cleared of all wrongdoing. Not that there is any wrongdoing to be done, but he had nothing to do with the announcing. And she went on Twitter that night and called this man a racist. That's defamation. And I simply want to know when she is going to apologize for this. Now, of course, since I'm blocked, I can't tweet to her. She won't see anything that I tweet. So what I do with these folks is I just ask everybody else to tweet to her. And if you go to the site, I've even made it simple. You could, down at the bottom, you just click, and it sets up a tweet. All you have to do is hit send. It's amazing, these folks. They don't want me coming to their meetings, or they don't want me coming to their events. They refuse to interface with me on Twitter. And all I'm doing is asking simple questions like, why do you have time for a kid in Florida but not a kid in your own district?
You know, I talked about this at the top of the show. I don't think you heard this, but you and I both reported on Jamila and her lovely tweets of last week. And it just kind of seems to me, Dwayne, the caliber of elected representation has really sunk to new depths. I mean, they are tweeting just the most, sometimes even obscene things that are going out. These are supposed to be leaders in the community. They're supposed to be held with some respect, and they're kind of wallowing in the mud. And I wrote in Politichicks today, was published. I mean, Twitter has become the window to the soul of most of these elected folks. You can really tell what they think about things by reading their Twitter feeds, and it's not always good.
No, they almost need a governor. They need someone there to, an extra step in the Twitter that says, do you really want to send this?
They need a little help.
I'm glad they don't. I'm glad they don't. Let everyone see them for what they are. Because a lot of people don't get the opportunity to talk with these folks. And that's one thing that I'd love to be able to do. I don't know if you're familiar with Jason Matera and his work with video, but I'd love to be able to be that guy who goes and talks to these folks in the state capitol. I can't imagine what would happen if I confronted Jamila Nasheed in person and said, why do you have time for Trayvon but not Tyrese? I'm sure she'd go off. I mean, she has no throttle, no reservations on Twitter. If she thought it was just me and her, I'm sure she'd blow up. And I want to be able to do for the people of Missouri, because the Kansas City Star is not going to do it. Know the St. Louis Beacon is not going to do it. The Post-Dispatch is not going to do it. Nobody's going to do that. And part of it is, they don't have the budget for it anymore, and the other part is the editors won't let them.
They won't let them. Well, the reason they don't have the budget for it anymore is because their news isn't newsworthy anymore. Nobody's telling the truth on the left-wing media is just not putting it out there, and left-wing media is dying. That's why the blogosphere has exploded. Okay, so speaking of covering this kind of great stuff, I mean, Dwayne, you've better than anybody in Missouri, have covered this this DOR stupid thing that I'm so mad about. Speaking of blowing up, I'm going to blow up. So I watched part of the hearings that were taken last week. You've been live streaming these hearings. It's all in the Missouri Torch, folks. You don't have to go to Jefferson City to see this ridiculousness. You can watch this stuff on Duane's Missouri Torch. I'm fit to be tied with what they've come up with. They spent all these months. They're not going to do a damn thing.
No, and part of it is they really, some of it they can't. You know, like Stanley Cox, I interviewed him. He was the chairman of the committee, and he said a lot of these laws have a one-year statute of limitations on them. So while something may, you know, if they did something in, you know, 2010, that they can't prosecute it anymore because of the way the law is written. And
isn't that
convenient? I'm sure that there are some who would want prosecution to be done, but the sad fact is they just can't. And two, they're all misdemeanors. And with everything else going on in the state, finding a prosecutor who's going to go after a misdemeanor charge against the governor's office or the Department of Revenue, when they that court battle would be interesting, because you know that the defense would be, look at the way the law is written, and you know, could they win that in court? Could a prosecutor win that in court? And with all the other things going on in the state, they just don't. That's not a fight they want to
fight.
They don't
want to mess with it. Okay, so a number of things are going through my head at this moment, and I'm about to explode over it. Okay, so don't you think that Tim Jones and company knew this when they formed this bogus committee? They knew what the statutes were. They knew that they were misdemeanors. They knew that there was nothing that they could do, but they formed this ridiculous committee to create a dog and pony show.
You know, that's something that someone said to me when I was down there in Jeff City, that part of the reason for the committee was that Kurt Schaefer was getting a lot of press in the Senate for what he was doing, and Tim Jones, who wants to be Attorney General, thought that he needed to do something to increase his visibility in the House. So he created this committee to elevate his visibility in the state equal to that of Senator Schaefer, so that when 2014 rolls around and they're both running for Attorney General, he's got the same name recognition that Kurt Schaefer does.
So what this boils down to is you cannot impeach a governor for a misdemeanor, even though he's repeatedly violated. I mean, they've got him dead to rights. They implemented Real ID. It's against the law here in Missouri. Isn't it more than a misdemeanor for a governor to break the law, regardless of what the penalty was for breaking the law? It's kind of like going against the Constitution.
I don't know about that. You know, I think the penalty is in the law. The enforcement is in the law. And from what Stanley Cox told me, they were all misdemeanor violations.
So there's absolutely nothing that can be done. This was all just a dog and pony show, a bunch of smoke and mirrors and publicity stunts for people running for office.
It kind of, I don't know, you know, I can't confirm, I can't come out and
say
the whole reason for this committee.
It's a speculation.
But I can tell you that I sat down there for, what, 6-7 days, listened to what went on, and at the end of it I'm told, will anyone be prosecuted? Absolutely not.
Oh, my God. Okay, that banging sound is me hitting my head against the desk. Amazing,
yeah,
amazing.
It's kind of sickening, it is.
And so, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's the kind of insight, again, that, you know, the mainstream media isn't going to cover you, not for you. Not only is this going on, but why is it going on? Why was this committee formed? If at the end, you're right, they knew when they started, these are misdemeanors that have probably, the statutes of limitations have passed, so what was the point? I'm sure there'll be a report at the end of this saying we need to do X, Y, and Z, but that will be it.
That just makes me sick. And all of the innocent people who've had their information shared with MorphoTrust and beyond, do they have any, you know, is there anything that do they have any recourse to stand up for their rights?
Not really. And I'll give you a little spoiler here, something that I'm working on that a lot of people simply don't know this, and I intend to have this written next week. I'm giving the Department of Revenue the opportunity to respond to my questions, and they're giving me a little bit of pushback. But the fact of the matter is, Lisa, they routinely sell DMV records to third parties, routinely, by the millions.
What for?
They will take your DMV record and sell it to a third party. It might be an insurance agency or something
gosh.
Like that. That's bad enough that a third party can come to the DMV and say, we want to buy your complete database, and they sell it to them.
Oh, my God.
But wait for it. They will sell it to them, from what I've been told, and my source is highly credible. What I've been told is they'll sell it to the third party for a fraction of a cent. But they'll sell the same file to you for $7.
Holy cow, you're kidding.
No.
I
wish I were.
Gosh.
So you can buy your file for $7. They'll turn around and sell that file to a third party for a fraction of a cent. That third party has in the past turned around and sold it back to the people of Missouri for $30. That's the business they're in.
Now, oh, my God.
That story will be coming out probably Monday, because tomorrow I'll be in St. Louis and Friday I'll be in Orlando. And I don't want to break that story on a Friday. But, yeah, Monday, okay. Look for that on the Torch. And I've got video of my source, who I'll reveal on Monday, and you'll see why I say he's highly credible. But, yeah. And here's the thing. Here's another aspect of it that you might not know, and I don't know that your listeners. Well, this seems to be all news to you, but it's a federal law that mandates those records be released to third parties. But it's Missouri law that limits the price they're sold for. So while these parties come to Missouri and they buy our records for fractions of a cent, we limited the price that we sell them for. We basically said you can't sell them for any more than this. But in North Carolina, they sell their records for $8.50 each record. Can you imagine, Lisa, what that would do to our revenues if we increase the price of those files from a fraction of a cent to $7?
Revenues,
you
want
to talk about an increase in that's
I
a massive
can't...
increase in revenue that we're just giving away.
Yeah, but let's back up here a little bit. I don't want my records being sold to third-party interests for any price.
I don't think anybody does. Yeah.
These people are playing fast and loose with my privacy for profit.
Yep. And my source told me also that a third party bought those records and actually turned around and published all the records on the internet. And there were people who were using their Social Security numbers as their driver's license numbers in Missouri.
Oh, my gosh. Legalized identity theft.
Look for it Monday.
Oh, Dwayne, I cannot believe it. That's amazing. That's an amazing story. Okay, folks, go to the Missouri Torch every day. Sign up to get the daily emails from the Missouri Torch. You'll get the links to the hottest stories every single day delivered right to your inbox. Hit the donate button, too, to keep the Missouri Torch burning if you are so inclined, because there is nobody in Missouri reporting this kind of stuff, folks. And this DOR story is just outrageous. Well, I can't wait to hear this story on Monday, Dwayne. This is just awesome.
Well, thank you. It's going to be it should. I hope to get the same reaction that I got out of you all across the state.
Oh my God, I can't imagine that you won't. That's just amazing. That it is. It's a legalized identity theft.
This will blow you. This may not blow your mind. I looked at the email and it irritated me. I sent an email to the Department of Revenue. And I'd been corresponding with them, and I said, can you tell me how often these sales take place and which and who are the third parties that are most
who are they selling them to?
Yeah, you know what they responded? Their response was, can you tell me why you need to know this stuff? I wrote back and I said, are you telling me that the sale of BMV records is not public knowledge? And they have yet to respond.
I'm sure they have yet. So Freedom of Information Act, right, or something, Sunshine Request.
It might have to come down to that, yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, Dwayne, I'll be looking for that story on Monday. Folks, go to themissouritorch.com. Look for that story. Go this weekend. Sign up right on the top right-hand corner. You can put your email in so that story will be delivered to your inbox as soon as it is released. You won't even have to worry about clicking on the link. Go to themissouritorch.com. Dwayne Lester, thank you so much. I guess you're going to be in my area tomorrow to see Rick Perry.
I'll be there. Hopefully I can get some time with the governor. I've been emailing people who are involved, but understandably they've been very busy the past 2 days. But hopefully I can get in there.
Okay, very good. Look for the Rick Perry story and the legalized selling of your records story on Monday morning. Thanks, Dwayne. I'd like to have you back real soon.
Anytime.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Bob Parker.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for Grassfire Alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri. Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners. Show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes, walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
Our well-being at home and our leadership abroad are inextricably linked. Our friends and allies must again be able to trust us. From Israel to Colombia, from Poland to the Philippines, our allies and friends have to know that we will be reliable and consistent and determined. And our foes can have no reason to doubt our resolve because peace really does come through strength.
Just when you thought it was all over, when you thought it was time to hang it all up, Lisa is back.
We're back. This is Lisa Payne Nager, and you're listening to Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I am cleaning my exploded head off the walls after that interview with Dwayne Lester. I would imagine Bob Parker is also, his head has already exploded if he got to hear the last part of that interview. Bob, thanks for being with me.
I didn't hear enough of that interview, but good to be with you, Lisa.
I'm so glad that you're with me because when you go back and you listen to this on the podcast, your head will explode. They are not going to do a damn thing about this DOR thing. They knew it going in. Everything's a misdemeanor. They can't prosecute. No big deal. There's a statute of limitations on everything. It was all a dog and pony show for the two people running for lieutenant governor or attorney general, I'm sorry, to get FaceTime so that they can campaign. And they know that they're selling our information to third-party entities for a profit. All of your information is being disseminated. Oh, what you get, and also, you know, read the Missouri Torch on Monday. Dwayne's going to have everything. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been obvious to me throughout this ordeal with the DOR situation, and I don't know if you know this, but it was me and a friend of mine that basically exposed the DOR situation.
Yeah.
We did a radio show and exposed that back in January on the Mike Evans show in West Plains, and I talked about the CCW component of that, how our concealed carry information is handled by DOR and it's part of your driver's license stuff, and all that's been passed on. And when we did the show, a lot of people heard the show, and they were emailing their representatives and making phone calls, and they were told, well, no, that's not happening. These guys don't know what they're talking about. And, you know, slowly as it wore on and we were able to get documents out on it, that we were able to expose what they were doing. And even the grant money, I mean, when they were having those, right before they were getting ready to have those Senate hearings, my friend who had found the trail of the grant money from Homeland Security to Missouri to implement the Real ID Act, basically we were able to send that to Kerry Messer and get it there to those senators in that hearing. And so they were sitting there with the documentation showing that they were lying in that hearing, and that's why, you know, Senator Schaefer said, you know, that's the third time you've lied to me, because they had the goods on them. But, you know, we were the ones that were able to break that, and there's been a whole lot more information come out since then. And it's just unbelievable how they're lying, covering it up, and now they're in this, you know, dog and pony show, acting outraged, but nothing's done. You know, it comes down to, well, it's a misdemeanor, nothing's going to get done, or, you know, but... You know, if you or me were committing a misdemeanor every day and hundreds of people across the state were violating the law in Missouri every day repeatedly, yeah. I mean, there's repeat offender laws. I mean, if you had a taillight out on your car and that's a misdemeanor, if you refuse to fix it, I mean, they'd take your car away eventually. And who knows what, I mean, you know, who knows what all they would do for you for repeating, you know, that misdemeanor offense. But yet these folks do it and violate our constitutional protections of privacy every day and take, you know, biometric information from us every day and share it on national/international databases, which is clearly in violation of the law that they passed in 2009, but no big deal, and nobody's going to pay any price. You know, the Real ID Act, that they passed that law against in 2009, that there was about half the states rose up and said, we are not going to implement the Real ID Act. It has way too many problems. And now they've implemented it, and now that we've caught them red-handed, it's like, well, we can't do anything. I mean, you talk about your head blowing up.
Yeah, well, why would they implement it, Bob? Because they knew if they implemented it was only a misdemeanor, and nobody was going to go after them for a misdemeanor. I mean, even I'm just about ready. I'm ready to put a torch to all of it, because Tim Jones and all of the characters in Jefferson City knew what the law was. They knew what the constraints were to the law. They knew that and I'm telling you, another thing that really just torques me is that they write most of these laws to make, and when they kick it back to the judiciary, they only put a misdemeanor on it. They put the lowest offense on there that they can every single time. And the excuse is, well, because we can't get it to pass if we put a high penalty on it.
Right.
Or,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Okay, so here we go. Okay, so now on Monday, Dwayne Lester is going to break across Missouri and probably across the country the fact that the Missouri Department of Revenue has been engaging in legalized identity theft for profit, And all of the people of Missouri have been subjected to this, and there's nothing they can do about it because it only is the penalty is a misdemeanor.
Yeah, it's
really?
All a misdemeanor, but it still continues. It continues every day. It's just, it's just complete anarchy. It's a complete breakdown of our laws and our enforcement of our laws. It's a breakdown of our whole system of government and protections, and it just continues. That's the outrage. It continues in every county all across this state every day, and it's all in violation of the law. And even the documents that we uncovered with the Homeland Security when they were going through all the different things that the states have to comply with and that Missouri has to comply with, they specifically tell them in that document to not say they are in compliance with a couple of steps in there, because they want Missouri to have deniability. I mean, they conspire. They conspire to violate the law with Homeland Security in those documents, and nothing's done. I mean, it's conspiracy, and it's in black and white, and nothing is done. And the reason I figured out that the reason nothing is done is this is such a huge push. They want to get everybody's biometrics. They want to have a national / international global ID. They want to be able to track you, identify you, and I think they take these legislators and other people behind the closed doors and they say, hey, look, guys, this is how big this is. This is a system we're implementing, and, you're not going to stop it. We're going to do it. And
What are you going to do, slap them on the hand if they cross the line, which is exactly what they've done? So I'm telling you right now, folks, you've got Tim Jones and you've got, Kurt Schneider running for attorney general probably in the next election, whether it be a primary.
Yeah, I haven't been following that as close as you have.
So anybody who would elect either one of those two clowns as the attorney general of Missouri under these circumstances, please, you got to be kidding me. We got to get another candidate in this position because either one of these plans who cannot impeach.
Nobody. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
If you can't impeach a sitting governor who has knowingly broken the law, you've got no business being attorney general. That's all I have to say about the issue.
Well, I just think the political system on both sides, for the most part, you're not going to reach that level in politics and have support of the parties unless you're basically owned by the powers that be. I mean, I don't know how you get somebody that will really represent the folks and really represent our Constitution and the things we care about, because, it's just maddening the representation that we have for the most part all across this state. I mean, I've been to Jefferson City many times working on this stuff, and they'll all sit down with you and say, oh, yeah, it's a great bill, it's a great this, it's a great that, and, it never makes it out of committee, or, there's always some reason it can't happen, you just realize that, it's just so out of control on so many levels. We really have lost, we've really lost control of our system in the state, and it's just so sad.
Oh my God! It's beyond sad.
And the agencies are running everything, and our elected officials let them. I mean, the agencies, who can even stop the agencies and the money and the federal intrusion into the states and all the programming, and it's maddening. I mean, we don't, I mean, it's just like, my state rep here in my district, Robert Ross, when I told him about, what DOR was doing, we gave him a lot of the information. He went up there and he asked questions, and DOR denied everything, and he came back and basically said, Bob, they're not doing this stuff. I've asked them, and it's just not happening. You're wrong.
You're crazy.
And, we say, have you ever been lied to? This went on for weeks, and I was very frustrated, not only with him but others, and I know they mean well. They're not that they're all bad or anything, but they mean well. But you got to be a pit bull and do a lot of research to figure this stuff out and how they're lying to you. And a lot of these guys, they're playing softball, in a baseball field with the pros, and these guys are walking around, they're fumbling around. I mean, this is this is the big game, and they're not ready for it, or maybe they are ready for it in a way that I don't think they should be ready for. I mean, they, you know, I think a lot of them are working for the other side here instead of the folks.
Oh, for sure. Oh, well, that's not a question. I mean, that's absolute. That's an absolute. So, Bob, what do you know about them still taking biometric photos?
Well, they're still taking biometric photos. They're still uploading them to Morfoot Trust.
How do we know that?
Well, all the information is directly piped into Morfoot Trust. They're the ones that make the driver's licenses and put the pictures on the driver's license. All that information is shipped to them. Missouri's just saying they're not doing it because they're not doing it. They're shipping it all to Morfoot Trust. Now, Morfoot Trust is the global ID provider. They provide IDs for our military. They provide IDs for China, for India, for 100 other nations they're working on right now. I mean, they are the global ID biometric company.
So
I mean, Chertoff started it. I mean, L1 Identity Solutions back years ago. I mean, they got no-bid contracts from the government to build this company, and they are basically the company, the global company, providing all this ID to United Nations specifications.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the biometric photos have to have a certain pixel count between, you know, between the eyes and things, and that's what's, if you go through the documentation. And this is going on globally.
If Missouri is not attaching the biometric software to the photos that they're taking in the offices, they are shipping the photos to Morfoot Trust, and Morfoot Trust can do whatever they want. And they don't have to tell anybody.
These are high-resolution digital cameras, and that's really all they are. But Morfoot Trust is the one that applies the facial recognition software to that high-resolution photo. So Missouri's not doing it. Morfoot Trust is doing it.
And still,
no, we're not doing it. We're not taking your biometrics. We're just taking a picture with these new cameras, you know, up to the global specifications, and we're shipping them to Morfoot Trust, who handles the global ID for everybody. But we're not doing it, and that's what's frustrating. I mean, they tell people, well, we're not doing that. We're not doing biometrics, and they're right. They're not. Morfoot Trust is.
Oh, isn't that so convenient? Isn't that just so convenient? And they're selling your data.
And
all of your data is going all over the place.
Well, the head of the Highway Patrol gives all our CCW, you know, information to whoever, and then they're saying, well, the disc was bad, and then other reports you just can't really make up the clowns that are running this stuff. But again, nothing's done to him. I mean, nothing, you know, I think he should have been fired, and, you know, I mean, one of our top law enforcement officials violates, you know, one of the most basic of laws to a gun owner. We don't want our names on national databases.
Right.
You know, but, you know, I mean.
And the legislature passes shut me up legislation, and the governor signs shut me up legislation, and people think everything's fine.
Right. But I imagine when they were going through that whole process, they had Homeland Security and whoever else is involved in that, Morfoot Trust, helping make sure that legislation was written in such a way. They knew. These people are really, really sharp, and they have some of the best minds in the world working on these problems and these legal issues. I mean, when all the states came up with legislation opposing Real ID that had passed in 05 on the federal level, I mean, they're like, we gotta figure this out. And if you read the way they're requiring the states to comply with Real ID and how they're telling them not to say that they're in compliance with this or that, so they won't look like they're in compliance, that they're just enhancing their security on their driver's licenses. I mean, that it tells them exactly in the Homeland Security documents. That's what it tells them to say, and that's what they've been saying. I mean, they're just reading the playbook. I don't know that any of these legislators have even dug into this issue that far. I mean, you can find this stuff online. You know, this stuff's all online. We found it online. We didn't go anywhere and break into any place in the middle of the night. We sat at our computer and dug all this stuff and printed it out, and it's all right there. And yet I haven't heard, you know, any of this stuff in these hearings, you know, them talking about a lot of this stuff in these documents and things. You don't. These clowns, I mean, these guys show up at a hearing and let those guys testify, and they have a little bit of information. But, I mean, it's just, they don't ever ask me, and they don't ever ask my buddy, and they don't ask, I mean, I know several people that could be at those hearings that would absolutely tear them apart, but none of us get invited to that.
Oh, no, yes, no. They don't want anybody asking hard questions. That's not going to work. Well,
right,
Bob, you've been
right
on top of this from the very beginning. You've got some great information, and you guys have been on top of this from the very beginning, and all of that information is coming out. I can't thank you for what you've – I hope you continue to follow it and keep us updated on the issues, because I'm telling you, folks, we are totally getting roasted here.
Yeah. Now, we're going to have an annual – I co-chair the Property Rights Coalition, and we are having an annual meeting in Springfield on October 26th, and you'll see more information about that on Facebook. It's on the north side of Springfield, right off 44. And we're going to have Mark Lerner, who is one of the guys that's really been digging into this real ID stuff and the DOR stuff, and he's going to be one of our speakers, I think. I'm 90% sure he's on board, but he's going to come down and give he's an ID expert, a biometrics expert, and also as a lot of the stuff that I uncovered was because of the things that he said. So anyway, he's a real authority on the issue. So October 26th. So you can check our website out, prcnews.org, and we'll be posting when that annual meeting is and where it is.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob Parker. Come back and give us an update. And if you'll send me that information, too, I'll put it on MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa.
All right. Thank you. We're going to take a break, and we will be right back and talk to the folks of the Patriot Coalition.
Yeah, well, the thing that people need to realize is economics, you know, is not about numbers. It's about humans. It's a very significant component to what makes us human. It's a very different program. It's called Getting There from Here, and it's about about building a roadmap to restoring constitutional governance in the United States. It's about how we can win elections nationwide with conservative small government principles. It's about how to build and broaden a coalition, a majority coalition that's committed to having a smaller government. And then the second night I call dismantling the monstrosity. And it's about how practically to shrink the federal government, I mean really shrink the federal government via the Republican Party, but we need a much, much smarter Republican Party and one that's not scared of its own shadow. We need to have people who are seriously committed to constitutional principles, to family values, to a smaller government, running the Republican Party. And we need to have strategies, which is what the whole seminar is about, where we can make sure the benefits of smaller government are going straight to people. If you remember my first seminar, I love analogies. And in the first one, I talk a lot about cancer, how the government has really become a cancer that's consuming our economy. And in this one, I talk a lot about alcoholism, which is a very different disease. But politicians get to Washington and they become alcoholics. And, they can't understand how they could do anything but grow the government. And, you know, it's like we need to have an intervention with the government. We need to say, you know, you're out of control. You are an alcoholic. And you tell that to your congressman, and he's like, well, you know, we're gonna phase out my alcohol consumption over the next 10 years. But, you know, first, you know, I just ran out of scotch, so first thing I got to do is go to the liquor store. And then when I come back, we can talk about how we're going to, you know, phase out my drinking problem. That's where most people in Washington are holding right now. So it's about the necessity of eliminating government programs instead of cutting them. Because when you cut government programs, they just grow faster. The great divide in the Republican Party seems to be between a few hundred Republicans in Washington, on one hand, and everybody else. The millions and millions of Republicans all over the country really want to have a smaller government.
Folks, you just heard Lauren Spivak, the free market warrior. He's returning to St. Charles County here on August 29th and 30th at the Family Vision Library for two nights of a free seminar so that you can learn about capitalistic values and free market principles. Bring your kids, bring your family, bring your friends, and join us at the Family Vision Library, 2020 Parkway Drive, St. Peters, Missouri, on August 29th and 30th at 6:30 p.m. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. For information on this event, it's all there on the calendar page, and I'll see you at the Family Vision Library on August 29th and 30th with Lauren Spivak.
It really is time for the people of America to take up pitchforks.
Our well-being at home and our leadership abroad are inextricably linked. Our friends and allies must again be able to trust us. From Israel to Colombia, from Poland to the Philippines, our allies and friends have to know that we will be reliable and consistent and determined. And our foes can have no reason to doubt our resolve, because peace really does come through strength.
Just when you thought it was all over, when you thought it was time to hang it all up, Lisa is back.
We're back. This is Lisa Payne Nager, and you are listening to Missouri Grassroots Radio. We're here with Culture Vigilante every Wednesday evening between 7 and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And our next guest is a mutual friend of mine, and Emmanuel Goldstein, who was on with us last week. There are a lot of organizations out there, folks. I mean, anybody who's interested in saving the country and getting involved and turning things around, that, you know, there are a lot of organizations, Tea Party groups, Patriot groups, grassroots organizations. And as far as I'm concerned, there aren't enough of them. There's a great national organization. There's a great organization called the PatriotCoalition.com. that you can go to, and we're here with Suzanne, and she's here with us tonight to kind of give us some information about what this is and how this organization got started. Thanks for being with me tonight, Suzanne.
Good evening, Lisa. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Suzanne, you are a naturalized citizen of the United States, is that correct?
That is correct, and of course a lot of people wish to just call me an immigrant, and my preferred title would be intentional American.
Because becoming an American was a choice for you. You had to go through some effort and probably some cost, I would imagine, to become an American citizen. How long have you been a citizen?
I've been in the States now since 1989, and a lot of Americans are not aware of the entire process, and I think it's important that they should, especially when we're now looking at the watered-down version of the DREAM Act. For the first 5 years upon initial approval, you have to remain free of any legal incursions, including a parking ticket. And then after 5 years, you can then apply to become naturalized. And during that time, as I say, you have to remain absolutely squeaky clean. And the initial first five-year process cost me approximately, for myself and my then young daughter, I'd say it was about between $8,000 and $10,000.
Wow.
And you have to pay for all of your medical expenses that are demanded of you. You have to have all sorts of medical testing, including those that are not very pleasant, especially on a three-year-old child, including TB x-rays and rather invasive blood testing, et cetera. And you have no choice. This is what you have to do to prove that you are a healthy citizen, not just physically, but financially, too. That has to be proven as well. And after, say, about 5 years, then you can go ahead and apply to become a citizen. And
that's
I'm very
amazing.
Proud of the title. I'm very proud of the title that I have. It's probably, I would estimate between my daughter and I, in totality, I would say roughly about $18,000 to $20,000.
Wow. That I had no idea that there was that much expense involved in becoming an American citizen, or that much effort. Actually, I knew that you had to, you know, pass a test, and you know, I knew that you had to be free from,
communicable diseases. Yeah,
communicable diseases
and
crimes. But I didn't realize that something as simple as a parking ticket could mess you up on your journey to become a citizen.
And during my apologies. During that 5 years of basically considered to be somewhat of a probationary period, and that's when we have our green cards, and they're not really green anymore, but resident alien is the status at that point. And if you get such as a DUI, that's grounds for not allowing you to pursue your dream of becoming an American citizen. However, you still can remain a resident alien. You don't have to. You're not forced into becoming naturalized. But such a legal issue would definitely prevent you from doing so. And also, by the way, we do pay taxes. As a resident alien, there's a big misnomer that immigrants awaiting naturalization don't pay taxes. That is not correct. As soon as we receive our Social Security number and we start working, we pay the same taxes as everybody else. And it's rather interesting that my forefathers were kicked out of the country for taxation without representation, yet that first five-year period would be the same thing.
So obviously you did not vote for the first 5 years, but I'm kind of curious, okay, obviously you went through great effort and great expense to become an American citizen. Why did you decide that you wanted to become an American citizen? Why did you leave the UK to come here?
The dream, the American dream.
And is the dream still alive across the world?
It is. It is still across the world. It's still very much alive. And, of course, you know, the beautiful words that are written on the Statue of Liberty. And yes, it's still very much alive. I have worked in politics in the UK and seen the demise of my once great nation. And it was very painful. But I also recognized when it was time to jump out of the boiling water. Otherwise, I was just going to get boiled alive like everyone else has been. And now that I see socialism nipping at my heels in the United States, I am ready to pick up my pitchfork, so to speak. And this is where we're at today.
That's just amazing. That is amazing to me. Because, I mean, I've never, you know, I've not been outside of the United States to a great extent. Don't really know on a firsthand basis. I mean, I know that America is not really looked at as a favorable country anymore for a lot of reasons. But I'm kind of surprised that the dream is still circulating across the world to come to America. It kind of sets me back a little bit.
I just had a conversation today via online media with a friend of mine in my home city, and just today asked me, how difficult is it to get there? How difficult is it? And I explained that unlike what the DREAM Act is offering, normal procedures for immigration are blood family only, mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter, husband or wife. And that's always been the case with immigration. Now, of course, we're looking at giving people a free pass, one that I paid very expensively for, to just, okay, well, go to college. Well, my daughter just became a citizen of her own volition. I didn't think it was something that I should do for her until she was of age to choose. And she recently became a citizen. She's been through college. She's working in an incredible job that's really going places for her. Never been in trouble. No unmarried situations with children or anything legal, nothing, completely squeaky clean. So can we please have her tuition reimbursed to us as well? If you're going to be giving that away, can you? I'd like to speak to the person that's deciding that all of this amnesty is going to be tolerated. What about those of us that followed the rules, that followed the regulations, and not only achieved the dream but continue to share it and work towards keeping the dream? Where's our refund? Where are we in that lineup?
Yeah, you know, interesting that you put it that way. Yeah, because it kind of seems almost, and I'm sure it's not this way, but it just kind of seems, if you have conservative values, you know, you come here, you do it the right way, you pay your taxes, you pay your dues, you know, you jump through all the hoops, you don't get a break. Mm-hmm. But if
nothing
you are coming
all.
And looking for a handout, you know, and you're a burden to society, you get everything laid at your doorstep. I don't know.
And something else that a lot of people don't realize is that back in the early 90s, they said that it was Clinton that actually altered Social Security Administration benefits for what were then resident aliens. And at the time, I was a resident alien. Not that I was ever in a position where I needed to claim any kind of benefits. However, Clinton changed it and made it that resident aliens couldn't claim a dime for anything. So we have to look at that, and it's still on the books. So if we are to give amnesty and Well, from what I've read, they'll be given resident alien status for the 5 years, the normal procedure. So if that's the case, how are they still going to be then now legally here going to claim all of these monies that they've been so used to claiming with false social security numbers, false paperwork from people that have long been deceased? How is that going to work? It's another little bit of inside information that nobody is looking at because not many people know the procedures.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, Suzanne, I'm assuming that your experiences since you became a citizen and on your journey to do that kind of drove you into the Patriot Movement. Am I assuming too much?
You're absolutely correct, and I'm very proud to be a part of a very newly formed group, the American Patriot Coalition. There are just around 40 of us, and we are around the country. There's no one central focus point for us. And we consist of conservatives. We're various leaders in our community. We're organizers. We represent many groups and organizations, political action committees, associations. And using social media, we will be working very closely with select political campaigns on not just a municipal state, but on a national level too, and to support the election of conservative candidates to public office. And we're already on the boots are already on the ground to affect these changes, and being that social media is the key to end all and be all at this time in our lives, and we probably all have at least one social media account, and we're used for advertising purposes. Our data is sold all over the place, et cetera, et cetera. So we want to reverse engineer a little bit of that, and with various Facebook pages and Twitter pages, between the 40 of us, we've got several million conservative patriots, libertarian members that we can reach out to on a global level, and we can then work together to form this alliance of the changes that we want to see. So we're using the data against the data, if you will. Facebook has given us all of these people free of charge, so we might as well use it to our advantage. And so we formed this grassroots coalition, and this alliance is moving forward very strongly at this time. We have some remarkable names involved, all the way up to the Hill and back again. And I'm very excited about it. And I find it personally empowering when we sit there on a day-to-day basis as individuals. We hold our hands up in the air every time we hear the news on the television, the radio, read a newspaper if still people do that, so on and so forth. And we wonder what we can do. Well, this is what we can do. So if anyone out there is on Facebook, look us up. We're called the American Patriot Coalition, and we'd love to have you on board.
Okay, so give me some details. Let's drill down a little bit. Give me some details about the kinds of projects that you folks are working on.
Well, as we speak, we're working on several projects. We've just initiated one that basically says, say no to Syria. We've initiated a WhiteHouse.gov petition today, which is cruising along very strongly. We don't have too much time. We know, regardless of media events, we know that a petition to the White House isn't always going to be effectual. But with media coverage, it at least allows us a small voice that says, we don't want this. We do not want to enter the potential of World War III. And so it's not just on a grassroots level of holding people accountable. It's making them hear us.
Absolutely. Okay, so we hear, well, how to delicately put this? Okay, we here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition are trying to do this on a statewide level. What you're doing on a national level is kind of be an umbrella for all the places to gather so that you can unite and fight the battles that you want to fight. So,
correct.
It's a little difficult sometimes. Sometimes it's like herding cats to get all of these very, very independently minded groups together to make them feel like they comfortable. They're not leaving behind their identity. They're not leaving behind their independence by joining a larger group. They're strengthening their alliance.
One of our members said something recently that struck a big chord with me, and it applies to this particular situation. We, as a conservative movement, we have never really had to form alliances. We used to have the churches. We used to have all sorts of gathering places that were always going to be in the same mind. Nowadays, we don't. We're diversified. And of course, you know, we have several egos that we have to, you know, stroke, and that's okay too. The big picture is that we're working towards the same goal. And, you know, even within our own groups, we have to still reach across the aisle to find, you know, the promised land that works for everybody. And that is the difficulty of it. It definitely is. Not everybody's on board with, you know, what constitutes a rhino. We have wonderful libertarians that support, you know, various aspects that a lot of conservatives don't, and vice versa. So between us, because we're such a diverse membership, we can therefore basically pattern out together what it is that we need to cut the cloth according to make this suit fit everybody in the group. When I say, you know, one size fits all, I'm not talking generic for every person that wishes to vote in any upcoming election. It's one size that will fit us comfortably, that we can agree upon. And that's where the diversity of the group members comes in.
So, you obviously, you have a huge reach. Millions of people see you. So how do you do that? How do you blend that all together to where you have, you know, you have that cohesiveness within the diversity?
Well, we look at the aspects of one another's political pages and groups on Facebook, and we pull out what are the common denominators, what are the factors that connect us, and we work very strongly using those connections and common denominators. Instead of just, you know, I guess the old expression is it's all small stuff, don't sweat it. So we, you know, okay, so you might be okay with legalizing marijuana. I really don't care. So therefore, it becomes a non-issue, really. So we're not looking at the finites of our differences. We're looking at the things that actually connect us. So rather, you know, half full instead of half empty. And so far, so good. It's working for us rather nicely.
Obviously. With that kind of a following, what is your website? What's your website?
Well, right now we're kind of keeping that a little bit secret because we want to be a little bit underground right now. The best place to find us for now is on Facebook, and it's American Patriot Coalition. And we're on our upcoming website, which we're not ready to yet divulge. We're working on it. We're designing it. We're also looking at some aspects of bringing in public content as well as just our own content. And we actually want to get our name out there to make the big names a little bit nervous. Who is this underground coalition? Who is this anonymous? And, you know, rather, you know, having that pink elephant in the room, but nobody knows what to do about it. So for now, we're being a bit coy, but thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. Well, we'll absolutely have you back. How soon do you think it'll be before you launch?
Oh, I think we're going to be looking within the next 2 or 3 weeks. We're ready to launch. And as I say, right now, we've got some word out today. Spoke with several news outlets just this afternoon. And everyone is now, who the heck is APC? Who the heck is American Patriot Coalition? And that's what we want to capitalize on. And, you know, you can send out all the press releases that you want in the world. But when you just drop that little time bomb and eventually it goes off and somebody says, ooh, what was that? And, you know, considering the numbers that we have involved in our alliance, yes, we do. We understand we're sitting on the brink of something rather remarkable. And we have an opportunity that's never been brought before. And not since our founding fathers got together have we had such a diverse group of people that agree to agree. And I'm very, very proud to be a part of this. Very, very proud to be a part of this.
It sounds like an amazing feat here to be able to put that kind of power together. You know, because the Tea Party movement, as young as it is, has gone through some amazing transformations in the last few years. It came out very strong, got sidetracked, got kind of infiltrated by the Republican establishment and weakened. And this is a great way to put that strength back into the movement, to have that coalition together. People have got to understand they've got to work together.
Exactly. And this is where, you know, we've gone through some of our own little changes. And we're now at the core of where we're at. and we've got down to the nitty-gritty, if you will, of where we need to go, what we need to do, and when we need to do it. And we've learned, we're basically using other people's experiences to make sure that we don't fall into those traps. We're not a bunch of angry white people. We're not a bunch of angry middle-aged people that are, you know, showing up at rallies with our guns drawn, et cetera, et cetera. And unfortunately, the Tea Party did suffer from that kind of analogy. So we learned from that. We're not coming out until we're ready and dressed.
Absolutely. With a lot of firepower, it sounds like you guys have a lot cannons a-blazing.
We do. We do. Just like my forefathers fought back with. Now I'm using it in the reverse angle.
And we all know how that turned out, so that's good.
And exactly. And so, you know, once defeated, you know, any army general would tell you that you have to regroup and you have to reassess. You never, ever, ever tell the enemy what your next move is going to be. You have to be willing to perhaps surrender to a few battles, because the ultimate goal is to win the war. So, you know, we've looked at the battles the Tea Party has had to surrender to, and not always elegantly so. And so we were using that knowledge, that experience, to figure out, you know, what is it we're willing to let go of in order to win the war? And this is a war.
Absolutely. It's for fighting for our very lives. Absolutely.
Yes.
All right, Suzanne. Thank you so much for being on with us tonight. I hope that when you guys get ready to launch this, you will come back and let us know here on Culture Vigilante. We'd love to be able to help you spread the word with that and get the folks here from Missouri and beyond involved with the American Patriot Coalition. It sounds like a fabulous organization, just the shot in the arm that the Tea Party and the grassroots movement needs to move forward with these upcoming elections in 2014.
Well, when we're ready to launch, I will make you a promise. You will be the first one to announce it.
Well, thank you. That'd be great. I would love to be able to break this, because this is a huge, huge event for the grassroots movement. I would love to be able to carry this. Thank you so much. So,
you're welcome,
Lisa.
Thank you.
Okay, go to Facebook, folks, and look for the American Patriot Coalition. Hit the like button, and you will absolutely hear right here on Culture Vigilante when they get ready to explode. We're gonna be the first people to let you know about that. Thanks, Suzanne. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
Okay, we are going to take one more real quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified.
Our well-being at home and our leadership abroad are inextricably linked. Our friends and allies must again be able to trust us. From Israel to Colombia, from Poland to the Philippines, our allies and friends have to know that we will be reliable and consistent and determined. And our foes can have no reason to doubt our resolve, because peace really does come through strength.
Just when you thought it was all over, when you thought it was time to hang it all up, Lisa is back.
We're back, folks, and it is kind of all over. We're running out of time here. We've had a lot of stuff going on here the last couple of hours. Thank you so much for being with us. We want to thank again the Overpass guys, Mark and Dwayne,
and all of the hard work. We're going to watch that story, folks. That was just a ridiculous situation. I'm going to put that video up at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. You can see the brutality that they were exposed to, and they sat in jail for 24 hours for no reason at all. So I'm going to put that up at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Make sure you look for that. I want to thank Bob Parker and Dwayne Lester. Make folks, if you haven't signed up yet, go to the Missouri Torch and sign up so that you can get that breaking story on Monday. It's absolutely criminal what's going on here in Missouri. What the legislature, the conservative, Republican proof, majority legislature, supermajority legislature is allowing to go on here in Missouri, and they're not going after the problem. And we've got, Tim Jones and he's going to run for attorney general. He can't, and he's not even going to bother trying to impeach a governor after they've done all of this to our privacy here in Missouri. Folks, let's got to follow that story. So Dwayne Lester will be on top of that on Monday morning. Thank you to Suzanne for the American Patriot Coalition, and can't wait to break that news when they get ready to launch their huge website. Before we leave, I want to put one more plug in for Lawrence Bivak. He's going to be here tomorrow night and Friday night at in St. Peter's at the Family Vision Library. And I wanted to throw out a great big thank you to John Thrower of the Family Vision. Those folks out there work so hard to provide a great service for the community out here in the St. Charles area. And they're trying to expand into the greater St. Louis area. They do just amazing things. Very homeschool friendly, plus a lot of other family friendly activities. And they're always great. They always allow me to come in and bring my activities and my events there to their facility. So even if you don't make it to the Lawrence Bivak event Thursday and Friday, or if you do, go back and enjoy some of their other activities. Thank you to John Thrower. Lawrence Bivak, Thursday and Friday evening, free to the public, great information, free market warrior, great free market principles. Bring your teenagers. It's a great opportunity for them to get old-fashioned common sense free market values that they're not going to get anywhere in an institutional school setting, folks. So bring them along. They are certainly welcome. Don't forget to join Dave on Monday nights for Hour of Truth, and also I think Saturday nights for his Fair Tax show. And Cynthia Davis is on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. with Homefront. And join me. Look for my articles this week at examiner.com. I also post those articles up at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. And politichicks.tv, follow Culture Vigilante on Facebook, and you can follow me on Twitter as well. And until next week, folks, we will talk to you again with all of the updated stories going on in Missouri and beyond. Thanks.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.